So, this is pretty much the last sermon before Christmas. And so, I was putting together my Christmas sermon. You know, pastors are supposed to preach Christmas sermons before Christmas. And so, I'm putting this together, and the Holy Spirit, it felt like he was tugging me this way. And he's tugging me this way, and he's tugging me this way, and I really wasn't sure which way I was supposed to bring this Christmas sermon. I mean, even this morning, I wasn't sure exactly how I was supposed to bring this sermon. I went and I told Pastor Rob during prayer, I'm struggling this morning, I'm not really sure how to do this. And then I had to remember, all I have to do is trust him.
Hallelujah.
And believe, say what he tells me to say, do what he tells me to do, and it'll be fine. I wasn't no different than most kids growing up, okay? I could be a brat, I could be good, I could be an angel, I could be a demon. I was one of those kids that was your everyday boy. I was your everyday little boy growing up. I wasn't no different than most kids, except for, you know, you had this thing. Come Christmas time, I was a little different. See, because I never was that kid that really ever believed in Santa Claus. You see, I did the Christmas thing just like other kids, right? I would even go to Kmart. Santa's at Kmart. Go to Kmart. Sit on Santa's lap. Tell Santa, yeah, I'd like the Hot Wheel track. I'd like, you know, G.I. Joe's. I'd like a new bike. Every little boy wants a new bike. Even if he's got a new bike, every little boy wants a new bike. I'd go to the Concord Mall Santa was at the Concord Mall when they had more than three stores. And I'd go sit on Santa's lap and I'd tell him what I wanted. I never, ever, ever, ever believed that Santa's sleigh was on my roof of my house. I never, ever, ever, ever believed when I heard jingle bells that the reindeer were flying over. I mean, from a little kid, I never, ever believed that. I am not telling you parents not to have fun with your children. I don't think you're doing them any harm. I really don't. If you tell your children who Jesus is, if they believe in Santa Claus for a little while, I don't have a problem with that. I just didn't. Never did. You know, I was that kid that I knew where my presents came from. I knew I could ask Santa, but I always asked Santa loud enough so that my mom could hear. Because I knew who was getting the presents for me. And somehow, at a little kid age, I mean, I'm talking 5, 6 years old, I also had a concept of what my parents could afford. I wasn't asking for the presents that I somehow knew that they couldn't afford to buy. But I knew where those gifts were coming from. So I knew to ask, or I knew the people to ask that would get it back to the person to ask. But here's the thing, I still wanted those gifts. When Christmas time came around, I knew what I wanted, and I wanted those gifts. I knew that, well, when I was 3 years old, yes, I can remember being 3 years old. You may not believe me, but I'm telling you, I know this. I can still picture it, believe it or not, like it was yesterday when I wanted, how many are old enough to remember the cartoon version of the Burger King? Not the goofy, creepy dude that they pass off as the Burger King now, but the cartoon version, I see at least one hand, of the cartoon version of the Burger King. And they had stuffed Burger King dolls. That we're talking way back in 1971. Okay? They had the stuffed version of Burger King doll. I wanted the Burger King doll for Christmas. That's what I wanted. That's what I knew I was going to get. And I got my Christmas present on Christmas morning. I opened up my Christmas present and I screamed and I cried. Oh, I still remember crying. And I remember stomping my feet and throwing the baby doll on the ground and saying, I don't want no baby doll. I don't want one. My mom bought me a plastic baby doll in a diaper with a little plastic bottle. Do you girls remember these? Little plastic bottle that you stick in its mouth. It had a little hole in its bottom and you could put water in the bottle. And you stick the bottle in its mouth and you know what came out the little hole in its bottom? Your baby doll would pee its diaper. You want to talk about a traumatic experience. I was traumatized. I was 3 years old and my mother gave her little boy a baby doll. I didn't want no baby doll. I'm a boy. I knew that at 3 years old. Parents, start telling their kids what sex they are. At 3 years old, I knew I was a boy. There's no such thing as gender confusion. There's parent confusion. We're too lazy to tell our kids whether they're boys or girls anymore. Good grief, I knew I was a boy at 3 years old. At 3 years old, I knew I didn't want that baby doll. I knew I didn't want the baby doll. Now see, my sister, she's 5 years older than me, so she was 8. Oh, the wisdom that comes along with 5 years. Now she calmed me down, and she convinced me, but Paul, this is a baby boy doll. A baby boy doll. Put the emphasis on the right place. This is a baby boy doll. You're a little boy, and you can play with a baby boy doll. And I was like, I'm a boy. Doll's a boy. And guess what I started to like? My baby boy doll. And I started to play with my sister. Now she's in heaven. Because she didn't have any sisters. Now she's got her 3-year-old boy brother that's got a boy doll. And she gets out all her girl dolls. And now she can play dolls with her little brother that thinks that boys are supposed to play with boy dolls. And I had fun with that. Because I accepted the gift I was given. But I had to be explained what that gift was by my sister. Now, I apologize. I went places I wasn't planning on going with that story, but there it is. You know what? I fully believe it 100%. We need to teach our children if they're boys or if they're girls. I think that's proper. You can kick me out for saying so. But that's the way it is. It's proper to teach if your boys are boys and if your girls are girls. And boys marry girls and girls marry boys. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Amen.
Okay, out of the rabbit hole.
See, my mom taught me at an early age who Jesus is. I knew what Christmas was all about. I knew Christmas had nothing to do with the fat man in the red suit. Amen. I knew. I'm sure before 3 years old, but I knew at 3 years old who Jesus is. At 4 years old, I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I knew what I was doing. And I caution people, don't hold the little... Jesus said, let the little children come to me. I came to Jesus when I was 4 years old. Did I know 100% what I was doing? No, but I knew who Jesus was and I knew why I wanted to be saved. I had it explained to me by a pastor. This was at my mom's advice. She had me go to the pastor and the pastor explained to me who Jesus is and why I needed him as a Savior. I bet I'm not the only one who was saved as a child. that I'm not. Anybody else in here saved as a child? At least one, two. And, you know, that's an awesome thing. I knew that Santa didn't put the presents under my tree. I knew that my mom, my dad did that. What my mom and dad taught me was that Christmas was about Jesus coming to save me, to die for me, and to raise me. Here's what the world taught me. That Christmas is about what I get. No one has to teach us to be selfish. Did you know that? Did you know that we come out of our mother's womb selfish little monsters? We really do. Don't we? When we want to eat, what do we do?
Ah!
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 Get the milk too cold?
Ah!
Get the milk too warm?
Ah!
Get the milk just right? Now we're talking.
And without games.
Got my way. Got my way. You know, we teach that the first words that babies learn are mama, dad.
Dad.
But I'm here to tell you, first word baby learns is almost always no. No. Mine. You put two 1-year-old babies side by side, but only one toy, you have a body? Mine. Okay, maybe it's 2 years old. Mine. It's the way it's been since forever. Why do you think Cain killed Abel? Not because he was thinking about anybody but Cain. Because that's what the flesh teaches us. It's me. What's Christmas all about? What am I going to get for Christmas? Oh, come on. Why do we? You better not shout. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. You know that whole song is about what you're not going to get if you're bad? You're not going to get presents if you're bad. It's just the way that the world would have us be. Me. But one of my favorite lines out of a movie book. More. Oh, Mom, I'm still hungry. Well, the food's all gone. But I'm still hungry, Mom. And what did my mom do? I don't know if your mom did this. There goes the sandwich cut in half off of her own plate. I'm full. I don't care if my mom's cool. My belly was still somewhat empty. So guess what? Mom, I'm still hungry. And I finish eating Mom's plate. Why do I use Mom as an example? Moms, a lot of times, most of the time, moms have that selfless love. That selfless love. Anyway. The world taught me that Christmas is about what I get. And as I was preparing the Christmas message, the Holy Spirit pointed out some things to me in a kind of different way. Normally, I would just go to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Matter of fact, if you want to look those up and put your finger there, Luke chapter 2. I go to Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. And I go to Matthew 2, 1 and 2. Matter of fact, why don't I just do that? Why don't we just go there? places with red and green markers because it's Christmas time. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I will bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and a baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured all these things up and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And we go back to Isaiah, the 9th chapter. How did I do that? I said go back to Isaiah, the 9th chapter. "For unto us is born, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the governors will be on, the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish that." And then if we go to Matthew, the 2nd chapter. Verses 1 and 2 and 11. "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' On coming to the house, they saw the child and with his mother Mary. They saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened the treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh."
You know what I noticed?
In all that reading, in all that we just read, you know what I think I noticed? It's all about the giving and not about the getting. It's all about the giving and not about the getting. I wonder if Jesus ever gets tired of our giving, giving, giving attitude. Do you wonder if Jesus ever gets tired of our giving, giving, giving attitude? Has he ever?
Luke chapter 17. Turn there with me if you would. In Luke chapter 17, verse 11,
It says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us!' When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?' Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except for this foreigner?'"
I can hear the disdain.
I can hear the lack of approval, the disapproval, if you will. I can hear the hurt in the voice of Jesus when he said, "Huh? Weren't there 10 of you? Weren't there 10 of you? And the only one that comes back to give praise to Almighty God is this one foreigner, this one Samaritan." You remember that Samaritans were outcasts. Samaritans were outcasts of the Jews. They didn't like each other. But this Samaritan, a foreigner, realized. They cried out to God. They cried out to Jesus and said, "Jesus, Lord, have mercy on us. Have pity on us. Would you think about healing us, please? Jesus, heal us. Jesus, heal us." I wonder how many of those 10, these are lepers. This is about the worst disease you could think of. That leprosy of that day is the AIDS of our day. Incurable disease that remember, you won't remember it because, well, we didn't live through it, but the plague. There have been certain diseases that have gone through different generations. There has been cholera. There has been the plague. Smallpox. Polio. Scarlet fever. My mother, survivor of scarlet fever. These were all killers. Leprosy. Killer. Body parts fall off. They die and fall off. These are 10 lepers. They had to walk around. They had to take the long way around. No matter where they went, they took the long way around. They had to, if they came across anybody, they get close, somewhat close, they had to say, "Unclean, unclean, unclean. Don't come near me. You might catch what I got. I'm unclean." These 10 lepers saw Jesus. I quite think they sought him out. I think they heard about Jesus. And they sought him out. And they said, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." He did not say, "Come back and give me glory." He didn't say, "Come back and give me praise." He said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they were on their way, they were healed. And then this one guy, as he realizes, he sees his skin tone come back. Remember, leprosy turned you white. I mean, I'm not saying skin tone necessarily, pigment. Leprosy turned you white, as in it took away all your color, all of your color, and it's death before your skin turned really black from lack of blood flow. It is your skin dying, turning white. Have you ever? This is, as a kid, I remember doing this, not so much as an adult. But I remember sitting in the bathtub so long, and when I got out, my toes started turning really ultra-white around the toenail and around the toe. And you know what that was from? It was from an extended time in the water without my skin being able to do what?
Breathe.
Guess what I was doing? Killing my skin. Yeah. Well, now then I can use this as a pretty good example, because guess what I always did? It always came, color always came back. Color always came back as my skin had time to breathe. But think about this. These guys have been locked with, I don't know how long, but long enough. And this one sees, look at this. He healed me. He healed me. And he turns around. And he comes back. And he runs back to Jesus, shouting and praising God. He's shouting and praising God as he's running back to Jesus. He hits his knees. He grabs Jesus' feet. And he says, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God has healed me. Thank you, thank you. And Jesus said, your faith healed you. Your faith healed you. Does that mean the other nine weren't healed? No. No. He was healed, and he was now righteous. He did the right thing. He came back and he praised Jesus, and Jesus honored him with, your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. I can't tell you what happened to the other nine other than they received the blessing from Jesus when he said, go show yourself to the priest. And while they were on their way, they were healed. That's what the Bible says. But the blessing that 10th one received to hear from Jesus, your faith healed you. We all have the sin nature. Do you understand this? We all were born into the sin nature. Every born person that's ever lived was born into the sin nature, including Jesus Christ himself, was born into the sin nature. You see, it became the nature of man to sin the moment that man sinned. And there had never been a born person, no begats, until then. Read your Bible. See if you read any begats before Cain. And see if you read any begats you won't. Everybody has been begotten unto sin, including Jesus. The difference of Jesus is he chose not to partake in that sin nature. He chose not to partake in sin. He was born into a world, a nature of sin. But he gave us the example. He gave us the know-how. He showed us how to say no to sin. There's not a sin that we've ever been tempted with that Jesus has not been tempted with first. Never, ever. Has there been? Never, ever will there be. And when we make the excuse, I can't do it, I can't say no to sin, that's all it is an excuse. And then when we give in to sin, we find ourselves running to Jesus and saying, Lord Jesus, have pity on me. Lord Jesus, have pity. And then he does. He always does. Amen. How many of us come back and turn around and throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus when he has done what we asked him to do that we didn't deserve, and then we go on our way when we, I'm better now. And then you find yourself in the same old junk. You find yourself in the same old garbage. You find yourself in the same old slop. And you find yourself crying out again, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Have pity on me. And then he does. And then we get up. And we go to show ourselves. And he heals us along the way. And then we forgive all. Because that's how the world has trained us. The world has trained us. Take all you can. You deserve it. Take everything you can. Grab, 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 grab. Why do you think one of the most popular games in the world is the lottery? You deserve it. Spend all your money for food on the lottery, because now you'll hit the lottery and you'll become rich. Do you know the odds of winning the lottery? They're so bad, most of us would never see it if we played. Do you know the odds of keeping that money once you've won it? They're almost worse. You know what happens to most lottery winners? They go bankrupt. They go bankrupt. Because they don't know how to handle that, because they were once, and then they went to show themselves, and their color came back. I'm good. This is just the way and the nature of the flesh. He has tricked us. It has lied to us. We serve a risen Savior. He did that for us. When he was born into the same sin nature that you and I were, when he was born, people came and brought praise. People came and brought honor. And they worshiped. And they praised. And they told other people. This was the first Christmas. Did the shepherds go to the stable expecting to open a gift? No. They were expecting to find what the angels told them they would find. The baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. These magi from the east. They came. We three kings from Orient are bearing his sweet treasures afar. Field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. You know, it's really, you read the Bible, if you read the Bible, it's really hard to accept that they were there the night Jesus was born. The most common belief is these guys showed up 2 years later. Which is why 2 years, I see mouths drop open. This, read the story. They got to King Herod. Herod wanted to know more about this. Do you know what Herod's order was? He ordered that everyone 2 years and younger be killed. Because these guys have been following that star for 2 years. So if that baby had been born during the time that they were following the star, that baby would be 2 years old. So he ordered that all the babies be killed 2 years and younger. He showed up while they were in Egypt. They were no longer in Bethlehem. They weren't in Nazareth. They were in Egypt. He showed up while they fled to Egypt. Because of, they didn't want their baby killed. Now, the kings, the Magi, they came and they warned, but what did they do? They warned them about the plot that the king had, and then they said, oh, by the way, and they gave them the precious gifts that they had brought. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All of these things were almost priceless. They brought these gifts, not expecting anything. They brought these gifts in honor of the newborn king. These were men, from everything that I read, of other beliefs. Do you know what Magi stands for? Magicians. These were hocus-pocus spellcasters. It isn't Magi majesty. This is Magi magicians. These were hocus-pocus dudes. These were not followers of God. They were followers of foreign religions that God Almighty spoke to them and told them, bring these gifts to my boy. And they did. And they did. Christmas isn't about what we receive from others. Who has a dad? I went and got old. Even as a kid, I get a bigger kick out of what I give than what I get. I want to show you something I got today. I got a gift today. I didn't ask for it. I did not ask for it. But yet, I got two gifts, and they mean so, so much to me. See, our Father knows what we need and when we need it. And by golly, when He gives you what you need, when you need it, what do you need to do? You need to fall at His feet. Even before He gives it, we need to be falling at His feet. We need to get into His presence. We need to honor Him. I got this gift. I don't remember which one it was that gave me this roll-up one. The youngest one that Melody brings.
Aurora.
Aurora brought me this. And they say kids don't know cursive anymore. I want to tell you what that says. You read that? Can you read that? Because I sure can't.
I don't know.
You know what it says?
Yeah.
Tell me what that says.
Love.
That's right. It says, I love you. Can you see that, Cliff? You read that? That says, I love you. That's what that says. I'm certain of it. And my heart swelled when she gave me this gift. Just out of the blue, she comes up, she tugs on my side here, and hands me a note. Oh my goodness, I love it when the pretty girls give me love letters. Love it, love it, love it. Oh, and then I have here, Pastor, 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 Pastor. And then Naomi comes up. Naomi's our church hugger. Naomi comes up and hands me this. On the outside, it says, got three hearts drawn here, and it says, I love you, from Naomi. And then on the inside, it says, you are the best pastor. Tell me God doesn't know what we need when we need it. I thank you, Father, for this. One of the best gifts that I've ever received. It's not about the gift, though. It's about the giving. If I do not reciprocate this love to you, if I don't reciprocate this love to others, and if I don't reciprocate this love to Jesus, my Lord, my Master, my Savior, what have I done but wasted the love that was shed on me, the love that was slathered on me? If I don't share that love, I have wasted that love. This is agape, you all. This is the love of Jesus. This is the same love that was shown when Jesus was nailed to the cross. His blood dripping down his face. His blood running from his side. His blood running from his hands. And he's writing the note that says, I love you. And he's writing the note that says, I picked you as pastor. You're a good pastor. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? You know that I love you, Lord. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know I love you. Feed my lambs. The last one. Peter, do you agape me? The first two was, Peter, do you phileo love me? Peter, do you love me like a brother? Peter, do you love me like a brother? Peter, do you love me like I love everyone else? Peter, do you agape me? Feed my lambs. He's not just talking to pastors. This is how we share the love of Jesus. Feed his lambs. Share his love. There's no better nourishment than the love of Jesus. There is no better nourishment. There's no better Christmas than the love of Jesus. For goodness sake, quit arguing with each other whether you say Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas. Jesus don't care. I promise you, Jesus don't care if you say Happy Holidays or Merry Christmas, but he does care if we're going to sit and argue with each other about it. That's not what it's about. I'm here to tell you the actual celebration of Christmas, Jesus don't care about that. He don't care about whether we celebrate his birthday. He don't care if we celebrate his birthday. We want to celebrate his love. We want to celebrate his love. He don't care if we celebrate Easter. We want to celebrate his love. The fact of the matter is, the wreaths and the bows and the ribbons and the angels and the ornaments, that should be every day of the year. And celebrate his love. His love is what we need to be celebrating. His love is what we need to be sharing. And I'm here to tell you, if you share the love of Jesus, he will pour it back out on you, wave after wave, crest after crest. Cast your bread upon the water, and it will come back wave upon wave. You know that's what it said. Cast your bread upon the water, and it will come back wave upon wave. Oh, the Imperials sang that song so many years ago. Keep on casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's going to come back home on every way. Keep on casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's going to come back home on every way. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over. Soon it's going to come back home on every way. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over. Can you imagine? This is what we get when we spread the love of Jesus. When we get back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For some reason, I always picture a good old-fashioned Coca-Cola soda pop. Boom! Down, shake it together, running over. Soon it's going to come back home on every way. Isn't that what we're after? Isn't that? If you want to receive, the more you give, the more you'll receive. I'm not talking financially, but I am. Yeah. Sure, it's financial. Spiritual, financial, physical, the more that you give with agape. What is agape? But the love that Jesus gave, the love that Jesus showed us, agape is the love that kept Jesus on the cross. Agape is the love. And when I say it kept him on the cross, at any moment, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, at any moment, Jesus could have said, I've had enough. I've had enough. Fui on Yui. Remember Gilligan? Fui on Yui. He could have said that. I've had enough. Angels, wipe him out. Get me out of here. I'm gone. He could have done it. But agape kept him on the cross. Agape caused him to die. Agape caused him to defeat death, to fulfill the prophecy, to walk out of the tomb 3 days later. Agape caused him to walk around the earth, showing himself to person after person after person, proving the fact that he had been resurrected from the dead. Agape caused him to ascend to the Father, and agape will cause him to come back and get us. Agape is the same love that we need to show others, because that is the love that enters our heart the moment we give our heart to Christ. And we need not forget about it 364 days out of the year. And then on Christmas, sing all the pretty carols, say me, 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 and you're not warming up your voice. No. I promise you, you want to receive, give. The more you give with agape, the more you will receive. Wave after wave, crest after crest, good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over. Let's stand.
As we sing this morning, I want you to listen to the words of the song I asked Stephanie to sing. Where God wants you this morning. This is where He wants us this morning. It's all about Him. I would ask you to make your prayer this morning. Less of me, more of you, Jesus.
Yes.
If you're struggling this morning, if you're hurting this morning, if you're bound this morning, I ask you, make your way to the altar. Get your knees before God. Stand at the altar. Come to Him this morning, I pray.
Because, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me.
Father, we lift you up this morning. Father, I feel in my spirit that there is broken here, that there is hurting here, that there are people that just haven't quite released you, Lord God. And Father, I just pray that you, Holy Spirit, you stand with them, you strengthen them, help them to lay down their cares, lay down their burdens, lay down their hurts, lay down their fears, lay down their indiscretions, lay down their garbage to you. Reach out and grab you. As you have already healed them, may they say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for taking this away from me. I lift you up. I give you praise. Father, I pray that you go with us as we go about our way. Bring us back tonight safely, 6 o'clock. We love you so much, Lord. I just pray that you bless everyone. And then they just have a great rest of the day. Keep us safe as we go our way. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.